for the weekend. Good morning to you. Now, the law on notices to quit has changed, whether you're renting or you're a landlord. So we want to find out what this means, and a better woman than Adele Conlon from Threshold. Good morning, Adele. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
So is this good news for tenants or what?
It is. It is good news, and we'll take whatever positives we can get in the rental sector at the moment. So as you said, on the 6th of July, there was a change to legislation which saw increased notice periods for tenants. This gives tenants more time to source alternative accommodation should they be issued with a notice of termination. So if a tenant is in the property less than 6 months, they get 90 days notice now. If they're there less than 6 months but less than 1 year, they will receive 152 days notice. If they're there less than 1 year but less than 7 years, it's 180 days notice. And if they're there not less than 7 years but less than 8 years, it's 196 days. And if they're there not less than 8 years, it's 224 days. Notice.
Okay. So before this, how long, say if you were only living somewhere for 5 months, how much notice would you have been given?
So it would have been 28 days for
so
that.
So the
period.
Month basically.
Yeah,
to, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a nice increase there for people to give them more time to try and source alternative accommodation.
Okay, yeah, 3 months, it's quite a bit, isn't it? If you've lived somewhere less than 6 months, yeah.
It is quite a substantial period of time, but I suppose the difficulty the tenants face at the moment is actually sourcing accommodation. So,
yeah.
You know, in the most recent Daft report, the number of properties available to rent in Ireland was at the lowest ever recorded. On the 1st of May this year, there was just 851 homes listed to rent nationwide. That's down 3/4 on the same date a year previously. So,
yeah, and we're not even talking affordable, we're just talking homes. I mean, some of them are
exactly.
I saw an apartment for $4,000 down the road from the radio station. I mean,
yes, I saw a two-bed in Kinsale advertised last night on Daft for €3,000. So
wow. The
rents, as we know, are not affordable. And also, you know, we have people who have to avail of the housing assistance payment, and they just come nowhere near the advertised rent at the moment. Speaking of half the housing assistance payment, there have also been changes recently to that. The local authorities now have discretion of up to 35% to add on to the rent caps. You know, a nice jump there. They did have discretion of 20%. Now this has increased to 35%.
Explain that to me now in layman's terms. I have no idea what that means if you're getting
help. So there are rent caps set around the country, and it depends on your area and your county that you live in. So they're all different. Basically, that's a guideline for what someone should rent property at. Now, what we found, people are unable to source accommodation at that level. So they gave discretion to local authorities to be able to increase that HAP. And that was an increase of 20%. But now, just in the last month, the local authorities now have discretion to add 35% to that rent
cap. If you were getting 1,000, you'll now get 1,350.
Exactly.
Okay, yes. I get it.
You have to rent a property for that. The local authority will pay that rent to the landlord, and then you have to pay a rent to the local authority, and that's based on your income.
Sure.
And it's important to point out as well that even if people work full time, they're still entitled to the housing assistance payment, and they should look into that. You know, it doesn't preclude them from availing of it if they are working full time.
A lot of people think that HAP is for, you know, single mothers or somebody who's been unemployed for a long time, but you can get it if you're working.
You can, you know, and people really should look into it. And if they need any help or any information on it, you know, they can give us a call and we'll talk them through it. You need to be on the local authority housing list to avail of it. Okay, so you have to apply to the local authority for housing to give you that option. There's also homeless HAP. So if someone is homeless, they do get a higher discretion rate there as well, just to try and get them out of homelessness.
Yeah, up on their feet, you know. Again. Yeah, I get you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just talking about the private rental market, Adele, for what reasons can a landlord give you that notice to vacate the property?
The first thing to say is many people sign lease agreements, and a lease agreement entitles someone to stay in that property for whatever period is on the lease agreement. And, you know, we always kind of see the 12-month lease agreement. So unless the tenant breaches their obligations by, you know, not paying rent or acting in an antisocial way, the household is allowed to remain in that tenancy for that 12 months, okay, unless there's a break clause, and I know I'm getting a bit technical here now. In the absence of a lease agreement, a landlord can issue notice of termination for a number of reasons, as you said. I suppose the main one we see at the moment is for sale, okay? And following on that, it's for family use. They can also issue notice if they're changing the use of the dwelling, if they're doing a major refurbishment to the dwelling, and also if the person is in rent arrears or in breach of their obligations, like acting in an antisocial manner. Yeah. For, you know, a period of time. So they're the main reasons that a landlord can issue a notice of termination, but it's quite a technical process. There have to be certain phrases on the notice. It has to inform you of your right to challenge the notice to the Residential Tenancies Board. It has to be very specific about the dates, you know, because it depends on how long you live in the property. It must be in writing. Email will not suffice. Text message will not suffice. And also the notice of termination, a copy of that must now be sent to the Residential Tenancies Board for it to be valid. Okay, so that's again important that people check that. It is really important that people get their notices checked with Threshold in the first, you know, okay. And we can guide them on that, because actually about 50% of notices of termination that come into Threshold are invalid and people don't have to leave their homes. So it is really important that people get those notices checked.
So say if you've signed a 12-month lease and you are, 8 months into it, and then the landlord sends you the notice of termination, you don't have to go, do you not?
You don't have to go if the end date is within the 12-month period, you know, if the termination date is within that 12-month lease. Now, if it falls after that, then, you know, and if the notice is valid, there may be times where
so once the 12 months is up, they can kind of do what they want if the lease is over, like it's come to an end.
As long as it's for one of those reasons that we mentioned earlier, and as long as the notice is drafted correctly and issued correctly and the copy sent to the RTB.
Okay. Tell me about this idea that, say, if the house is being renovated, that they must offer it back to the original tenants who've been asked to move out. How does that work?
Yes, so again, we've seen changes to that as well recently, where a landlord must make all attempts to find the tenant, you know, and offer the property back within, if it becomes available for rent within 12 months of the tenant vacating. And it's up to the landlord now to make all efforts in trying to find the tenant. And if they don't have contact details, they can request them from the Residential Tenancies Board.
Okay.
So again, but I mean, you know, it would work. I suppose it would work, you know, especially in the current market, because what we're finding is a lot of people are actually having to move in with family and friends.
Temporary accommodation rather
exactly,
than...
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, if the property does become available, then, you know, great. It can be offered back. You know, but if a tenant is after settling into new accommodation, then, you know, it's not going to work in that scenario.
Does it have to be offered back at the original price, or can the price be changed given that there's been an outlay for the renovation?
If there's been, for the renovation, if there's been a kind of a major change to it, so like an increased floor space of a particular amount, if there's been work done that has increased the BER rating substantially, then they are allowed to review the rent again, you know, and to market, but it must be market rent.
Okay.
So that's important to note.
Okay. And what if the plan was to sell it and it hasn't sold yet? What's the situation then?
So if it hasn't sold within 9 months of the termination date, it should be offered back to the tenants again. Mm. Yeah.
You must see it all the time, Adele. People are so desperate to find somewhere to live, anywhere to live. And I really do mean anywhere to live.
Yes.
They'll jump in, maybe without even having a lease. So how important is the lease?
You don't have to have a lease. It just provides that extra security. They can't use, you know, those reasons we listed, like for sale or for family member moving back in, or the major refurbishment. They can't get you out within that time frame. So it does offer extra security. The Residential Tenancies Act does offer security of tenure in the absence of a lease agreement. So there are protections there if you don't have a lease agreement. A lease agreement can also, I suppose, prove to be a negative thing in some instances. For example, if you're on the housing list and you get offered a property and you have signed a 12-month lease agreement, legally you're obliged to pay the rent for that 12 months. Now, you can't assign the tenancy. Again, there's a process involved in that. And anyone that finds themselves in that situation, they should contact Threshold and we'll talk them through it. But, you know, we have seen a case where a family actually got caught to pay the rent for the remaining of the tenancy, even though they had to leave and accept their local authority property because they can't, you know, they had to look after their family long term. They didn't want to turn down the local authority property because they had signed a 12-month lease agreement. But because there was issues with the way it was assigned, unfortunately, that family were taken to the residential tenancies board. So again, it's very important if you get offered a local authority property and you have a lease agreement signed, make sure to contact Threshold and we'll talk you through the process.
Okay. If you are, say, renting a room in a house, and I saw on Facebook there during the week, like there's nurses getting jobs in hospitals and they have nowhere to live. Mm-hmm. And they're literally on these Facebook groups and, you know, residents' WhatsApp saying, do you have a room? They just need somewhere to sleep. It doesn't need to be great, you know. Otherwise, they don't know how they're going to take up these positions. We're going to get to a point where there's no staff in any of these hospitals or places where, you know, we need the services. So if you are renting, say, a room in a house, do you need an individual lease or is it just one person from the household signs the lease?
It depends who you're living with in that house. So if you're living with the owner of the property, okay, that's a licensee situation and that is not covered by the Residential Tenancies Act, and someone that in that situation has very little rights. Okay, so that's if you're living in a property where the owner of the property is also living. That's called a licensee situation. If you're house sharing, that's different. That is covered by the Residential Tenancies Act. And yes, you will find that some people just, you know, there'll be one tenant that signs the lease agreement for the property and then rents out the rest of the rooms. But just to say that the person who signs the lease agreement is the person responsible, you know.
Okay, so if you leg it and you don't pay your rent, the person who signed the lease is going to be responsible.
Exactly.
So beware if you are the person who's yes. willing to do that because you found a house and you think then I'll rent the rooms then everything will be fine, just to bear that in mind. Yeah, because you don't know who you're going to move in with either.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen rent scams every now and again. They kind of raise their head and it's important, you know, never to give money over without viewing the property anyway and without meeting someone face to face. Transferring money online, especially if it's out foreign, it never really ends well. So if it looks too good to be true as well, the majority of the time it is a rent scam.
When you are going to rent a place, what kind of information should you really be giving over? I'm hearing rumours of people having to give in their pay slips, their loads of confidential kind of their bank statements, things like that, to show that they can afford to live there. Is that legal? Do you have to give that, or are people just doing it to try and kind of be chosen for the property?
Yeah, there are certain documents that need to be signed over for the person. You know, the PPSN number, for example, is needed to register the tenant with the Residential Tenancies Board. I suppose with that, you need to be able to show the reason you're requesting that data. And you need to, you know, you don't store it for unless it's needed. A PPSN is needed. The payslips, to be fair, we don't want tenants going into a situation where they are finding themselves in rent arrears, you know. We would urge landlords to encourage tenants to come to us if they are struggling with their rent. And we have had great success, actually, with landlords. Tenants, working with landlords and tenants to address arrears, you know, and not let them build up and get a payment plan in place if people are struggling with their rent. So, yeah, recent bank statements are kind of the norm, and payslips, evidence of residency, photo ID or a driving license, passport, a reference from an employer and a reference from a previous landlord would be all, you know, fairly common.
So that is reflected. All right. Okay. Isn't it amazing, Adele, to think? I think we spoke at the start of the pandemic and we were saying how difficult it was for people to find places. I think since then it has gotten a million times worse, hasn't it?
It has. In the last year, the number of properties listed on DAFT is down 3/4. So that's massive. Just 851 homes on the 1st of May available to rent. So we know that there's very little properties out there. We know that they're, you know, unaffordable. What thresholds do is try and keep the people that are in tenancies in them, so they don't find themselves in a situation looking for alternative accommodation and facing huge rents, you know, when they need to. So very important that everyone gets their notice of termination check. And also, you know, one of the big issues coming to Threshold at the moment is advice around rent reviews. So from January to June this year, we've seen an increase in the number of people coming to us with invalid notices of rent reviews. So it's important if someone receives a rent review that they get it checked. Also, if someone is struggling with their rent and they're not quite sure if the rent reviews they've got in the last few years are valid, you know, you can get that checked as well. So really,
does that cost money to get that checked?
No, we're free, service for any tenants. Yep, we're a charitable organisation. We do need to fundraise, and support is greatly appreciated. But we are a service that is free of charge to all renters in Ireland.
Yeah, well, it really is all consuming when you're on the hunt for a new place to live. It's draining for people. They're having to take time off work to go to viewings. They turn up and there's, you know, 50 people ahead of them in the queue. It's very difficult, isn't it? What is the website if anyone would like to get your help, Adele?
Yes, so it's www.threshold.ie. We also have a web chat facility on that website. And then our helpline is 1800 454 454, and that's open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, and we'd be happy to help anyone with any housing issue that they are experiencing at the moment.
Okay, super, Adele. Thank you so much for your time. You've seen it all. If you think that your scenario hasn't been seen before, you can be guaranteed Adele has come across it. Thanks so much for your time. Have a lovely weekend, Adele.
Thank you.
See you now. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.